Now, once again, here's Pat Carroll with more of South of Boston, a weekly presentation of Today's Easy 99.1.
In view of June being designated as Scleroderma Month, we have a very inspiring and exceptional human interest story to share with you. It involves my guest, Andrew Botiri, and his roller coaster ride involving a near-death experience from this rare autoimmune disease, and his journey back from his life-changing crisis due to positive attitude, perseverance, and faith. Stay with us as he reveals his poignant wake-up call, which may guide you through your own introspective reevaluation of life balance and what's important. Andrew, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice meeting you, too.
So tell me what your life was like before all hell broke loose. You were a workaholic with high stress levels.
Yes, I think like any overachiever, we sort of get consumed in what we do. And it was something where I was part of a startup.com company, which obviously, you know, you get into an environment like that and you get intoxicated by, you know, lots of stock options. And as I used to say, you know, I had visions of stock options dancing in my head versus sugar plums around the holidays. But, you know, you sort of get really involved and you sort of just engross yourself in it and to the point where you don't realize that you're spending, you know, 70, 80 hours a week, 7 days a week doing it. And I think one of the, whether it's good side or bad side, is when you love to do something, you know, you don't really look at it as work. And sometimes that can actually be a bad thing.
Now, was this causing a problem in your family? I don't know if you were married or not. That may be a bit too personal, but.
No, I was out on the West Coast where I'd spent about 17 years. I grew up here on the South Shore in Hanson. And so I was out there. And so you, also where you don't have a lot of your close-knit friends around.
To rein me in,
there's voids that need to be filled, and either you void it by, you know, meeting new friends, or you void it by hiding in your work, and I found myself doing that.
That's what you did. Now, I understand they really do not know what causes scleroderma. That's a tough one to say.
It is.
So what makes you think it was induced by this lifestyle?
Well, noting that the environment that I was in, I mean, we were dealing with venture capitalists. I mean, one of the guys that used to sit next to me in the board meetings was William Randolph Hearst III, cousin to Patty Hearst. And Will was worth at that time about $850 million.
So
that. can be a little intimidating. It was very high stress. I mean, we were going to try to take the company public. And Will Hearst was part of Kleiner, Caulfield and Byers, which was one of the top companies to take internet companies public. They took Google public, Netscape public, Amazon public. So, I mean, these are pretty high, powerful guys. And you just, you know, you either step up to the plate or you take a back seat. And I was vice president of sales and operations. And so next thing you know, you just, you know, you're there. And I came on board where there was no sales structure at all. So I had to build the sales structure from the bottom up.
So your out of balance life was actually catching up with you. What were your symptoms? What made you think something was happening?
Well, at first, I remember waking up in one morning on February of 1999 and noticed that I had pins and needles and numbness in my fingertips. But, you know, I just thought I might have just slept on my hands that night. And as the days went on, the weeks went on, I just started getting stiffness both in my hands and my feet. And at some point, my executive assistant basically told me to go to the doctors. And of course, my response was, I don't have time to be sick, so I can't go to a doctor. And so she proceeded then to not only make me an appointment, but sat on my desk so I couldn't get any work done until I went to
assistant.
See the doctor. Yes, yes. And, you know, unfortunately, it was a general practitioner, and he basically said, how old are you? And I said, well, I'm 40. And he said, stiffness in the hands. I said, yeah. He goes, oh, you got rheumatoid arthritis. So I was actually misdiagnosed for about 8 or 9 months.
Transferred
up to San Francisco from Scottsdale. And it was there where I got another rheumatoid arthritic specialist, because I figured if I have arthritis, I'd like to, you know, continue on with my process with them. And it was at that point that he shook my hand, held onto my hand, looked at the other hand that were very tight. And he said, we want to do some more tests, but I think you have scleroderma.
Was that the first time you ever heard that word?
Yes, because I remember looking him in. I said, sclero what?
What is that?
And then he proceeded to tell me that it's a disease that has no cause, there's no cure, and that roughly 50% of the people who get it die.
Oh, good Lord. So take us through your medical downward spiral. I know some awful things happened.
Yeah, we just came back from a trade show in Las Vegas, and I was feeling very tired. You know, obviously could have been from, actually, no, it was in New Orleans. So it could have been the reason why I was tired was maybe hanging out on Bourbon Street for too many O'Brien or Hurricanes. And so, but I was very lethargic, and even people said to me, gosh, you know, your color's not right. And so I went and got a blood work done from that same doctor, and he called me back later on that day to tell me that the levels in my kidneys were very off and that I needed to go see a kidney specialist, which we scheduled for 4 days later. I woke up that morning, and I started to lose my eyesight. I started to lose my memory, not realizing that I was in the middle of renal failure. Kidneys were starting to shut down from the scleroderma.
Wow. And you were in a coma, I think you said.
Lapsed into a coma, spent 28 hours in a coma. Part of that was induced, drug-induced, because I started coming out of my coma very violent, started ripping lines and tubes out. They had to intubate me for quite a period of time because I wasn't able to breathe on my own. And when I came out of my coma, the doctor, first thing he asked me was, you know, did I know who I was? And I looked at him and I said, no, I don't know who I am. And so they were very concerned, obviously, with symptoms of a stroke patient, but my blood pressure was 270 over 170 when I was admitted to the ER. And then moments later, as they were transferring me from the Arizona Heart Hospital to the Barrows Neurological Institute, my poor parents were here in Hanson trying to get a flight from Boston to Phoenix, and they were in the midair heading out, not knowing when they landed if I was going to be alive or not. So the first person he had asked me as they were wheeling me from to the ambulance to bring me to the next hospital, he leaned over and he says, do you know who that is over there? And I looked over and I said, well, that's my mom. What's she doing here? So that brought some hope into their eyes. And it was 6 months on dialysis. Some told me I might be on it for the rest of my life. And I kept telling them, nope, I'm going to be off of this in 6 months. Even had one doctor who scolded me saying, Andrew, you don't know what you're dealing with. And of course, I pointed back up in his face while I'm in my dialysis chair hooked up saying, no, you don't know who you're dealing with. I'm off of this in 6 months. And by the grace of God and prayers of thousands of people and just a positive attitude that in perseverance, that 5.5 months later, I came off dialysis. And since that happened, I started to regain strength and the disease started to regress at a point that the doctors still today don't understand why. And I'm considered, as one doctor coined me, the miracle boy of Phoenix.
Wow, that's amazing and that's wonderful. Now, you have written a book called A Celebration of Life, A Story of Hope, A Miracle, and the Power of Attitude. That kind of sums it all up. At what point in your illness or recovery did you think this book needed to be written?
Well, I had actually written an article. I'd written, you know, dozens and dozens of articles, business articles to do on leadership or sales, customer service. And I have a friend of mine that has a national magazine and he wanted to print something a little differently. So I said, let me talk about overcoming adversity and perseverance. So I wrote an article called A Celebration of Life and went through the story in you know, 900 words or less. And so I started to get calls from people all over the country. People just started to tell me, gosh, your article, I read it. It's changed my life now. I'm not going to become a workaholic. And people started sharing the story. And many people, both friends and business associates, said, you need to write a book. I said, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. No, you need to write a book. And after a while, I thought that, you know, maybe there's a purpose and reason for everything. And, you know, there was a reason why, you know, God gave me a second chance where most people's hearts would have exploded at that blood pressure, that maybe it's to create a message that will affect and change people's lives. So it took me probably about 7+ years to write it. It was very therapeutic for me because it was, you know, reliving a lot of that stuff that if I had kept in, I'm not sure how I would have dealt with that. But so one thing led to another. The book came out and it's been tremendous. It's on Amazon. It's also on ebook as well, or it's on my website, which is andrewbotieri.com. And a portion of every book sale does go to both the National Scleroderma Foundation and the Scleroderma Foundation of New England, both of which are here in Massachusetts.
Well, good for you. I would expect nothing less from you on that, Andrew. Now, reviews have been really fantastic. One person wrote, it's time to take a look at your life, stop and realize your full potential. Andrew's story is amazing, and he tells it in a way that will help you focus and realize all the important aspects of your life as well. I highly recommend this book. That's what he says.
And that wasn't even my mother.
Your father? No. Now, this is one thing you've done to help people with scleroderma. See, I cannot say that. Write the book, but there's also a walk that you wanted to talk about.
Yes, and I really appreciate, Pat, you having me come in today to talk about this, because it's something where, you know, scleroderma affects 250,000 to 300,000 people a year. Though, you know, when most people hear about it, like I did, scleral what, but yet if you hear about ALS, everybody knows about ALS. It is a debilitating disease, ALS, but it only affects 25,000 to 30,000 people a year. So I'm hoping that between the book and doing some speaking around the country and other interviews, but this walk that we have, it's a 6th annual walk in Plymouth. It's called Walk, Talk, and Rock, Stepping Out for a Cure for Scleroderma. We do it at Nelson Beach every summer, and this time it's Sunday, June 22nd, rain or shine. Registration's at 10 a.m., and we walk at noontime. We just walk up Nelson Street to Court, bang a left, go through the center of town, come down Water, come back around, and then we have all types of raffle tickets, and gentleman Jeff Karp actually brings a lot of sports memorabilia that we do a silent auction on. And we get local businesses to supply pizza and fruit and things along those lines, and soda and water. And then there's also some live entertainment, which is actually me playing my guitar.
Really?
Yes.
You are so multi-talented. But playing guitar is okay. It's not stressful.
No, it's not.
I'll let you have that.
I play around Plymouth. I play down at the Pilgrim Sands. I play at different places, other places around town. And it's... One of the things I had on my bucket list when I was in the hospital for 13, 14 days, and I made a list of the things that I wanted to do and achieve, and that was one of them. So I was able to check that one off.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, Andrew, what do you think would have happened to you if you didn't realize these things, these important things about family traditions and faith and optimism?
Well, I think it would have been, I probably would have been still in the rat race, you know, back in the corporate stress. And I think that, you know, I think the good Lord was sending me messages throughout, you know, my last 20 years, but I wasn't paying attention. So I think he finally took out the proverbial 2x4 and said, you know, pay attention. But I think I would have just been, you know, just caught in the wheel. And I've been able to really find a balance in life, but it's also a conscious choice. You have to make choices. You have to find put a value on everything you do. And I've really realized that after almost losing my life, that, you know, work is just the means for me to have fun and play, where before I was trying to let work identify me. And I think too many of us do that, where your life is what should identify you, and the things that you do to make a difference in other people's lives should be that, versus identifying you versus work.
Well, Andrew, thank you for sharing your story with us. We wish you continued good health and happiness in your life.
Thank you.
A Celebration of Life by Andrew Lewis Botieri can be found on Amazon.com, and his website, tell us one more time,
is andrewbotieri.com, and that's B-O-T-I-E-R-I, andrewbotieri.com.
And come out for the walk on June 22nd.
Please
in
do.
Plymouth. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
South of Boston, presented weekly at this time on Today's Easy 99.1. Any reproduction or use of this program without the expressed written permission of Today's Easy 99.1 is prohibited. Join us next Sunday morning for South of Boston, a public affairs presentation of Today's Easy 99.1.